The tunes are 75 and 9, the awesome Wendy's in their prime, the bowl is quick, the batsman fine. Remember? Do you remember? Nope, I can't remember, that was too long ago. Yeah. Holding Marshall, Garner, Lloyd, and Mighty Bib. Mighty Bib. They were going for the hat trick, the greatest team that lived, that lived. They swagger, then they stagger out, they shake their heads, they cry. How on earth did we lose to a team that played Yash Ball at five?
Hey, listener, this is Srinath Sripath. Welcome to yet another episode of Talking World Cup, which comes to you with the tournament wide open heading into the final week of the league phase. Pakistan have just beaten New Zealand, and unless you've been living under a rock, the paddles to the 1992 World Cup are getting spookier and spookier by the day. Pakistan's first seven results have gone the exact same way as 1992, and as if it needed to get any crazier, Martin Guptill seemed to play into the narrative with a near replica of the Jaunty Rhodes run out of Inzamam to get rid of Haris Sohail, with the game all but sealed for Pakistan. What follows is the chat between Osman Samiuddin and Siddharth Munga, two riders to the ground in Edgbaston, trying to unpack and try to make sense of the irrationality of it all. The irrationality of Pakistan turning up out of nowhere, out of chaos, at pretty much every other major tournament. Strap in and enjoy.
So, if you remember, we wanted to talk about this. And that was before the start of this World Cup, when I was at your house for 3 days. We wanted to talk about just the desperation that Pakistan team was in and the similarities that we had already started picking out in between this campaign and Banwe. Yeah. I really regret doing it. Banwe, by the way, is Urdu, Hindi, Punjabi for 92.
92, which everyone, of course, immediately knows.
By now, yes.
But okay. the thing is that you wanted to talk about it then, but we've never actually stopped having this conversation. This is like a conversation that we've been having forever.
Yeah. But it was like, to make it official, we're actually taking it seriously, which never happened.
Then we started getting the WhatsApp messages and the memes on Twitter, and it started building up. And I think it reached ludicrous proportions today.
Oh, today was like it's... I hope it has not peaked, but I think it has peaked today.
Where, if you remember, we had journalists in the press box putting up fingers, seven fingers. And I don't even know what it was for, whether it was for 7-wicket win or whether it was for 7th game. What was it for? The 7-wicket? Was it 7 wickets?
New Zealand, beating New Zealand by 7 wickets.
But they didn't win by 7 wickets ultimately.
Yeah, but you won with 5 balls to spare, which happened not against New Zealand, but in the 7th match.
Against Sri Lanka.
In 1992.
Yes. And also that Anjuman, the great Punjabi actress, got married once in 1992, and she also got married apparently today in 2019.
Is she trying to influence the result?
She is trying to make this result go all in for Pakistan. No, I don't remember now when we first started talking about it. What was the trigger?
For me, the trigger was Wahab Riaz's selection, and I felt that Pakistan team was like a Punjabi family at that time, where you keep brushing the issues under the carpet until it just becomes unbearable, and then you just do desperate things and you just hope for miracles.
I think the felt of your sentence was the most important word, because there is no other way to like kind of capture it. Is just purely a feeling that you can't actually, I mean, I've tried for years and years and years,
oh, I know,
and
that
years to articulate it, to express it, to somehow come out with it. But it's not. But never successfully. And I don't think you can do successfully, right? Because if you did, then it wouldn't be a thing.
You've got the closest. But yeah, true. If you did, if you were able to explain it,
then it wouldn't be it.
Jo samajh mein aa gaya to khuda kyun kar hua.
Yes, there you go. I don't think I've heard that before.
Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Tum ek gorakh danda ho.
About whom you had a very interesting story that we shared
yes.
earlier, in fact.
Sabse pehle gorakh danda kya hota, please.
Aap please bataiye.
Let that be.
Let's go into the Nusrat Fateh Ali story yes. that you told me earlier, which I wasn't aware of.
Yeah, but I'm... Which is also in my memory. It's again getting into that state of haziness where
Pakistan
whether
exists.
My memory is true
where
or
Pakistan
not.
Exists. That's a
so,
constant state of haziness.
So I remember reading in like 12 years ago in a Rolling Stone that Nusrat as a little kid, believe it, he was a little kid at some point of time.
He always had the face of a little child. Always had the face of a really yes. cute little child. like thinning hair also that's going to grow at some point into something.
Yeah, it's not receding, it's growing.
Exactly. It's in the process of growing.
So, when he was a kid, he was apparently studying medicine. And then his father died. And a couple of days later or some days later, he had this vision in his dream that his father, who was a very good kawan himself, that, son, you have to carry my legacy. Next day, he came to music. He didn't have to be trained. He was Nusrat that we know.
Just like Razak came in one day to the 2009 World T20 campaign and immediately got who? Brendan McCullum and
Martin Guptill. And he was not even a like-for-like replacement. He was Yasser Arafat, who's not an all-rounder. Or maybe he is, but he's not.
Listen. 6 wickets on test debut and a 50, okay, against India.
But is he not an all-rounder like Razak?
Because nobody was an all-rounder like Razak.
Maybe Azhar Mahmood on his day.
And he was never as good as Razak.
Yeah.
Razak was exceptional.
Razak maybe Jack Callis on his day.
Maybe. Yeah. Ben Stokes. Perhaps.
Yeah. And we won't go to Sir Gary Gobers.
No, Sir Gary Gobers is on a different plane.
So it's not a like-for-like replacement.
Uh-huh.
And Abdul Razak comes in and he takes 2 wickets.
Takes important wickets in the final also.
Yes.
Of that tournament. And this has happened like throughout. Even like you were saying, Wahab for this tournament.
And last tournament, Wahab got injured, paving the way for Ruman Reis.
Ruman Reis, who's now gone, by the way. Poor guy. Like,
after winning the championship.
Like a great, great... It's like the... So, over the last 2 years, between the Champions Trophy and this tournament, he's like the one bowler Pakistan have missed the most in ODIs. Like, literally, he's like the one guy.
And not even Hasan Ali.
Not even Hasan. You think like, yaar, aur kaun chahiye is attack mein? And you're like, Ruman Reis, why not? And he's just wanted to be able to play. He's had knee injuries and he's fat now, or he's trying to lose weight and he's coming back, but he's not the same as he was. And
please, like, no body shaming on this show.
I'm sorry. But it's only me and you who even probably remember him right now. Like everyone else is like, yeah, Shaheen Shah Afridi, we got Shaheen Shah Afridi.
That's Pakistan.
Amir is leading wicket taker in the tournament.
How many wickets did he take last year?
Amir? 2?
Or as the great Bazid Khan told us, the ball was not reaching the other end.
This is extremely pithy description of Amir. So Bazid Khan's entry into the press box today was kind of like the
Was it the second over?
Was it?
Yes. I think it was.
He came, yeah.
I think it was just before Munro got out.
So Guptill was out at around, 11:33, 34 or something.
Yeah.
Bazid came by about 11:45. This is all UK time, by the way. He came in about 11:45. And the very first thing he said was, "Nahi, ab to game over hai. Guptill out ho gaya, ab to game over hai." But that eventually evolved into a discussion where Bazid, who is like the arch rationalist.
Which we have a recording for, which we can use.
Which we can use. He is the arch rationalist. And even he started saying from the moment of that Guptill wicket almost.
Yeah.
Nee, this is tournament is Pakistan's now.
I suspect Bazid was actually trying a very irrational thing. And he was trying to be a Gaurav Sundaraman and trying to...
jinx the whole thing.
Yes.
To jinx Pakistan's win.
Yes, so that his rational ways are
winning
vindicated.
Out in the end, yes. And they win out in the end.
Yeah.
And so Bazid's points for all this. That Amir last year couldn't land a ball at the other end of the wicket and now he's leading wicket taker, second leading wicket taker. Wahab Riaz who should be on a holiday and was told not to go on holiday. What else was there? There was a couple of other points that he was talking about.
I don't think he spoke about Haris Sohail coming into the team, but Haris Sohail has come in only because somewhere in deep inside their hearts, Pakistan had given up on this campaign.
Dropping Shoaib Malik was the sign.
Till there was something on stake, they wanted the experience of Malik.
I think Haris was like, yeah, I guess the same way of saying it was the last throw of the dice.
Yes.
That we've tried, okay, our stakes, we've tried
everyone. It's better than saying that Pakistan had given up. But this was the last throw.
Yeah.
They hadn't completely given up, but they were like,
because
taking his last
only
chance.
Played the first game against West Indies.
Okay.
In which everyone had been spooked by the short ball. And I think trying to remember. I think he had played it
and
one.
As we know, pace is not his strength. When you're coming on slower pitches,
yeah, on that
and
kind
he's,
of,
he's a very good player of spin. So
as we saw today,
rationally you would want him to be back for slower wickets.
But you wouldn't have thought that you're going to get a slower wicket here. They brought him back for South Africa.
But you see these wickets.
But he was brought back for South Africa.
And not for India, where...
And not for India.
Where you need a player of...
And they didn't play Shaheen against India, where you would have thought that maybe they need... Because he had actually come back, Shaheen had come back, and actually done okay against Australia. Not okay, he'd come back well against Australia, which is a game we saw.
Yeah.
Where he was, you know, really inconsistent in the first half. Really, like, could not land two balls anywhere near each other. But then he bowled well at the death. Picked up a couple of wickets, I think. And you thought, okay, maybe there's something here. And they dropped him for India. and then he came back for South Africa and he did okay. And then today he came and, you know, having gone for literally, I think, three games in a row, he went for 80 runs.
Yes, 80 is... he might have taken wickets, but his economy rate was around 8 everywhere.
And suddenly now he, I think, bowled three maidens in his first six overs.
And he just found the exact amount of seam movement.
Yeah, not too much.
Yes.
And not too little.
Yes.
He found enough to catch edges.
As Rajesh told us.
That stat... That, so this... So actually, this is the thing. So we've taken recourse in...
Rational.
In complete rationality to prove the irrationality.
That's how you do it. That's the best way to do it.
It's the only way perhaps to do it. So this was... And maybe you guys saw on live report or in Monga's piece, but this was that... when Pakistan bowled in the first 10 overs... New Zealand were only not in control of six shots, I think, six balls.
When
they were not in control.
At the time that they had lost the first three wickets, they were not in control of six balls.
But they lost three wickets to those six balls.
And when they had lost the fourth wicket, it was nine balls. So it took them only nine
not
false,
in control
false shots or not
lose,
in control.
To lose four wickets.
Whereas the average for this tournament in the first 10 overs has been 14.
Per wicket.
Yes.
And yesterday, or the
which
day
is,
before
which
now,
was a game that when it became real.
Yes, the Australia-England game.
Yes.
When it became very real, was...
25 not in control balls
in the
first
10
overs.
And not
for,
a single wicket.
Yes.
And the jinx, in fact, and again we go back to the irrational, because the jinx had come from Sambit Bal. the great lord and chief of this website, the jinx had come from him in the morning when on the World Cup WhatsApp group that our correspondents have, there was a discussion about the pitch being green, and I think George Dobell said it's a bowl first wicket, and Sambit Bal said until the side is 70 for zero.
And you regret it.
And you regret it, which is exactly, of course, what happened. Because they were 123, I think, for the loss of the first
Yes, but we are not talking about England's regrets, which are many.
Sorry.
So, this is about Pakistan, though.
But if it's about Pakistan, then it's also about Sri Lanka. I feel like
yes.
We have to pay respect to Sri Lanka in this
and
conversation.
We have to thank Sri Lanka for this. And I remember discussing with Fernando... And he has a gripe. I have called Sri Lanka Pakistan Light. He has a gripe that Pakistan should be called Sri Lanka Light.
Sri Lanka Light. But he would say that.
But
the exceptionalism of being Andrew Fernando.
But if you go and beat South Africa 2-0 in a test series, it's...
So I will say hands down, that is a result that is beyond even the
yes.
furthest reaches of Pakistan's madness. That result is not happening.
Yes.
2-0
so,
in a test series... In South Africa, like, you can haul the hell out of Pakistan. You can irrationalize the hell out of Pakistan.
This is a self-plug.
Self-plug, I'm sorry. This will never happen. Like a clean sweep. Not like a one-all in one test.
It's a test series. It's not a one-day series. It's not a
T20. It's not a one-day series. It's not a T20 series. Like, Pakistan were really happy when they beat South Africa in a one-day series in South Africa back in 2013, I think. Which was the first time an Asian side had beaten them in a bilateral ODI series in South Africa.
And you did that before India. We were very happy about doing it.
We did this long ago. But to do it as a test series, 2-0,
yes,
which
true.
Is something that India has not yet done. India
yes.
did not do last year or the many years before that. So that... I can see where Fernando's coming from.
But I also see a lot of traits which we have discussed that are very Pakistani in the Sri Lankan team.
Please explain.
Their chief selector, once chief selector.
There's way too many, I just realized.
Okay, I will sum it up with this Facebook exchange between Lasith Malinga's wife and Tisra Parera.
And we,
who is Andrew Fernando's favorite player, by the way?
Oh man,
out.
We actually, he's actually the greatest all rounder going around today, and we need Fernando right now
to just add to this.
To kill himself against Australia. And I was there at the Oval. I saw a lot of signs of irrational things happening in that game. They were chasing 320 or something.
Oh, this is when they started off like a house on fire.
Yes, and then Isuru Udana comes out of nowhere, comes up with those two great runouts in one over.
Yes.
Lasith Malinga, and this is Stephen Smith, mind you. I don't remember when the last time somebody bowled him. Lasith Malinga goes round the wicket, bowls a Yorker at, must have been, Malinga's pace must be 128 or 129.
No, come on. Like we're
okay, 134.
134 is...
Which is Hasan Ali's average pace, by the way, so please don't...
Sorry. He does not have the slingy arm, actually.
Yes.
He has a very classical... But anyway. Yes. So he bowls Steve Smith.
From round the wicket, goes past the outside edge with a Yorker, bowls about. All these things are happening. There's like 370 has suddenly become 330. Then comes out...
Then the start.
Yes.
So you're getting the feels.
Comes out Kusal Parera. Dimuth, who has not played any ODI cricket for the last 4 years.
That is the most... That's like... I'm sorry, that's just plagiarism. It's like a ripping out like copybook of Pakistan.
But they're doing it better.
They are?
Yes.
Because that is peak. Like, that is...
You have gone only to Wahab, who has not played for 2 years.
Not like somebody who's never played ODI cricket
in
his life.
Some reputation of being an ODI cricketer.
Yes, he has. He has at least that one spell.
Dimuth Karuna Ratne. One spell which, by the way, has 0 wickets to it.
That spell had 0. He had wickets in the match. Damn you, Rahat Ali.
So, he has gone to Dimuth Karuna Ratne, who's now the captain. And he is playing an innings that is just completely out of any book. He is... They are going after everything and it's Stark and Cummins. It's not...
And can I also add that Dimuth Karuna Ratne is a guy who, as Fernando, I think, wrote in a memorable piece and interview, is a guy who was idolizing like Dean Elgar's... idolizing Dean Elgar's cricket four page. Like, I want to be Dean Elgar. I want his stats.
Yeah, I want to wear a few. I want to... If I end up with a 30 strike rate, I'm...
I'll be...
Yes. And he did carry his bat through in an innings before this.
He did.
Which is a completely Dean Elgar thing to do.
And Dean Elgar's not in South Africa's one-day squad. Maybe that's where they went wrong.
Oh.
Maybe that's what they got wrong.
Linda Zondi, please. Listen to this.
Dean Elgar for ODI captain.
Yes.
Fap is overrated.
At least he'll save the tournament, even if they don't go to semifinals.
Karuna Ratne.
Yes. So they are going crazy. Australia don't know what to do. And then they do another thing that's completely Pakistan. After getting this chase down to around a runner ball, which any side would then ace, after 20 overs you're down to runner ball of a 320
chase. Of a 320 target, yeah. Sri Lanka, of course, do a Sri Lanka. And,
or
a Pakistan.
Yes.
Pakistan light, sorry.
Fernando, sorry.
Yes, sorry. Pakistan light, okay.
And one of the best things which might delight Andrew Fernando is that Tisra Parera comes in.
Game
it's,
and world
it's
on the
no
show
laughing goes. Matter. First ball hits Mitchell Stark, I think, for a six.
Yes, I remember that six. Over mid wicket.
What does he do second ball?
Doesn't he pull out?
To mid on.
Which is why Andrew Fernando loves him.
Yes.
Of course, for all the fields that he gives.
Yes.
Yeah, I...
But it has...
So that was the feels. That was
both, yes. And that's when you know there could be something. But at Headingley, they did like really save this tournament. And I'm sure Pakistan were watching that game. And they at that time, they must have started feeling, hey.
Something's coming inside me. I can feel something. I'm not sure what it is. But something's happening to me.
I don't know if you have been in touch with them around when it started to happen.
I'm trying to think because this tournament is going by in a haze right now.
It's a pretty long haze.
As the best hazes are. No, I think we had a presser with Pakistan the day after, or it was a Friday that this happened, right? The England Sri Lanka.
Has to be Friday.
It has
you
to be
always
Friday,
played India on
yes,
Friday.
It had to
in
be a Friday. Sharjah. It was a Sharjah Friday.
It was a Friday.
And then I think somebody asked whoever was there for Pakistan.
Pakistan were playing on Sunday, so they did a presser 2 days before it.
Yes, and I think The thing, I think they brushed it off as a नहीं जी देखिए ये तो हर टूर्नामेंट में कोई भी टीम किसी भी हरा सकती है और ये तो क्रिकेट का नाम
which is trying to say कि हम भी किसी को हरा सकते हैं
because I think it was their way of saying look we're starting to get the feels now because we can also do it but they weren't saying it because they don't want to say it they don't know how to say it but yeah that was the result that I mean like I feel like we should talk about England in all this as well because I mean I know it's Pakistan and Sri Lanka.
But before England came a result which I thought was very possible, but truly, did you believe Pakistan could beat South Africa? Were they... So even if it's 51-49, were they the favourites going into that game?
Not favourites. I don't think Pakistan go into any game as favourites. Like this is... And this is... But this is the truth, right? Pakistan don't go into any... What's that quote we were reading about that could have been from Ricky Ponting?
Yes.
Today. That it's only Pakistan that beats Pakistan. It doesn't matter.
And only...
It was a much... I've forgotten.
Anybody can lose to Pakistan and Pakistan can lose to anybody.
Yeah. And mostly it's about Pakistan playing against Pakistan.
Yes.
Along, you get the gist.
So basically you're saying anybody... Pakistan can beat anybody and can lose to anybody because Pakistan are not playing you. They're playing themselves.
This was the line.
Yes.
But, and we don't know if Ricky Ponting really said it right now but as of this moment. If he did, it's a great line.
Or if it didn't, it still is a great line.
It's still a great line. And we'll say that Ricky Ponting said it. And I'm sure he won't deny it.
No.
But, so Pakistan don't... The point
unless
is Pakistan,
he doesn't want a job in the PSL.
Or the PCB. That Pakistan don't go into any game as favourites, I don't think. Like, really, they don't go... As heavy favourites, certainly not.
And then 51-49.
Yeah, I would say 51-49.
South Africa are pretty messed up right now.
Given South Africa's situation and given... So the one slightly irrational stat that you look at is that Pakistan do beat South Africa at ICC events.
Okay.
This happens. Hmm. The 2009 World T20 semi-final when South Africa were like big South Africa lost. South Africa were beaten by Omar Gul with the bat at the 2012 World T20. Okay, so that's like the hoodoo that Pakistan has. So South Africa was like, chalo, ho sakta.
Okay, so let's say you were 51-49 in favor of
and
Pakistan.
It happened. But the crowd adds another 10% because that Lord's atmosphere was like electric. It was crazy. It's probably the loudest Lord's has ever been.
But maybe not as electric as Edgbaston today.
Possibly not. I think, yeah, but I don't, there was something about Lord's, by the way, the whole build up to that day, and me and Sharda were there, and we were outside filming, like, people coming in and fans coming in, and just the build up of people walking down from St. John's Wood tube station was just phenomenal. And I think, you know, everyone was just so happy. It was almost like the previous week had not happened to Pakistan where they had been thrashed by India and people had said, ke pizza aur burger kha rahe hain, ye toh dekho, maro lanat hai inpe. Like all of that just felt like on that morning when these fans, and it was only Pakistani fans, like we could not find, me and Shada tried to actively look for South African fans to like.
If I were a South African, I wouldn't be going to watch that.
So we tried. We tried like, kahin na kahin toh mil jayega ek bichara Saifur. We found nothing. So but they were walking down, but they were all just really happy. Although Sharda says that she was sitting on the train. This is like peak Pakistan. Sharda was sitting on the train and there was these two Pakistani guys there. And so Sharda being Sharda, she just went and sat with them and started talking to them about Pakistan. And basically the conversation started off with the World Cup and it ended up with them bitching out Misbah and the Misbah style of play. So they're bitching about the Misbah run rate in test matches. Yeah, 2.8 per jata hai, sirf ye. Kis tarah ki team thi ye? And Shada was like, okay, so what do you think about today's game? And they're like, haa, theek hai, dekha jayega what happens today. But the majority of fans who were there were just really happy and like smiley, and it was an occasion. And you kind of started feeling that, okay, you know, South Africa, yeah, they're there for the taking. Not that Pakistan do the taking like that, but they're there for it. And then, of course, you know, it happened.
Maybe the pressure was off. Maybe they were like, let's try to make the most out of whatever
is there. Can I have one rational interlude in this? Is that Pakistan's top three right now is, I think, the strongest top three they've had in years.
Reliable. Small sample size. Reliable, predictable. So the more than reliable, it's predictable.
It's predictable. So the start of batting games for Pakistan, I know like Fakhar, just aaj she got out early, but generally, two out of those top three.
That is predictable.
That's also predictable. But two out of the top three generally stabilize your starts. And for Pakistan, starting a batting inning especially is always the most important thing. And you can, and even for the fan, because you get that kind of sense of serenity, ke achha, theek hai, they've got things a bit under control. You know, today Hafiz came as well, and people might think that he played a really scratchy, chancy innings. And it was a little bit obviously, but on that pitch it would have to be. But there was these two shots, we were discussing this earlier, there was two bouncers that he played off Lockie Ferguson, which he hit for four, and he was in control of those shots. And you just felt, or at least I did, definitely, that just the tension a little bit eased out of the threat of Lockie.
Oh, he did. Hafiz's innings definitely made a difference, because you see New Zealand were onto something. Ferguson, who's one of the five fastest bowlers in this tournament, he's just got Imam out with a brute of a bouncer.
Yeah.
The next ball...
And he's hit Imam in Abu Dhabi. He's terrorized Pakistan's batsmen in Abu Dhabi recently. In 2018.
Slower, lower wickets.
Yeah, at the end of 2018.
Yeah. And now he's feeling it. He's running
game is on.
As Wasim says, he's running in. As if others don't...
As if they walk in, they cross.
Yeah. I hope he doesn't listen to this.
It's okay if he does. He'll love it anyway.
First 7-8 balls are like really scratchy. Yeah, Hafiz has almost run himself out, which is when Bazit said... You have dropped the World Cup when Kaptil missed the run out.
Bazit immediately
said. Bazit Khan.
You've dropped the World Cup there, mate. Immediately said it.
As if New Zealand are serious contenders anyway.
Of course. Because Azhar Mahmood.
Azhar Mahmood, yes. I wanted to come to that.
We know what Azhar Mahmood thinks of
the greatest ledge.
Let's come to Azhar Mahmood after we finish this.
Yes, please.
Top order.
So, Hafiz has played these 7-8 really scratchy balls.
Yep.
And this is not... This is not what I was going for. Scratchy balls. So he's gone through this nervous period, which I'm sure every batsman will be if a bowler is feeling it and is like red hot and there's something in the pitch.
Yeah, yeah.
And at both ends.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then he plays that swivel pull.
Yeah.
Which tells Ferguson, hey,
You cannot
continue bouncing me. Yeah. I have got shots.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he didn't hold back. Like,
he didn't.
Especially when there's a target which is only 4.5. It's 4.5 and over.
Something like that, yeah.
You can fall into that trap that, okay, let's just see off this bowler.
Yeah.
He did not.
Duck under it, play away from it, leave it.
And then all of a sudden you look at the scoreboard and you're chasing 7 and over.
And, yeah, exactly. But this time, now Lockie's thinking... Okay, so this guy can pull.
Yes.
So should I try something else?
And as you noticed, after that he reduced that and he went to fuller length.
And he still beat Hafiz on fuller length. But that threat, at least that one threat that Pakistan know is real.
Yeah.
And has hounded them as recently as Trent Bridge. It was briefly gone. You know. So the top. What I'm saying is the top order. Which includes now Hafiz. By the way, four.
The very underrated Hafiz.
Underrated Hafiz. I would say this year Hafiz has been
Number four,
pretty outstanding at number four.
Number four, you look around the world, number four, number five are very tricky positions.
They're difficult positions.
So I rate Hafiz and Stokes very highly. People don't rate Stokes very highly, but
the
numbers that he has as number five.
And
even Shakib, who was one of the best number fives, has now moved to number three. Sort of given up that challenging position.
Yeah.
Which is working for them.
Absolutely working for
them.
Yes,
but
no doubt it's working
for
them. But yeah, that position down there.
Stokes and Hafiz are doing a job.
So Hafiz, you know, the thing that Hafiz has done, I think, to that top three, you know, with Pakistan always, you know, ek wicket girti hai, dusri girti hai top pe, teesri girti hai, and it can very quickly start. So I'm not saying that Hafiz has made massive scores this year, but one, he has made like whatever middling scores, he's had a few 50s, but it's the way he has played those innings. He's always, his strike rate, I think, for the year, maybe now has just dipped under 100. Which
for a number four, number five,
it's just dipped under 100. So you know he's come out with intent in England against England. Moeen Ali was wrapping up Pakistan and all kinds of things. Hafiz first ball down the ground four, just to like set that tone. He does that a lot. And here again with Ferguson, he hit those two boundaries and it was like okay, thoda chill hai. He got out in the worst possible way as he has been doing this World Cup.
These things can happen.
But this is also a career leitmotif for Hafiz, right? To play these beautiful shots and play these pretty shots and then get out. When everyone's getting really excited, get out. KLPD, which we won't go into detail here, but KLPD. You know?
Which is happening with England right now.
Which is happening in a big way with England. So, you know, Hafiz, like I said, that top three, so at Lord's, there was the confidence ki yaar, jo top three, top four aapke hain, they can get you a start. They can set you a base.
Everybody has a role and they are performing that role. They're not straying from what...
So that brings you a sense of calm in the crowd, in your dressing room, I'm sure, that you know that you're not going to be padding up. As a number five, you're not going to be padding up second over of the day.
True.
You know, you're not going to be doing that. So I think that is one thing that is really important.
But hello, we are getting rational now.
I did say that this would be my one little drift.
Where does Azhar Mahmood's quote come from?
So Azhar Mahmood, I think, has taken on this role for Pakistan now, by the way.
He did with England.
So, no, if you remember the great line that he gave to Nagraj at the 2017 Champions Trophy. And was it after the win?
I don't know till now, for the life of me, what that line means.
About the batsman when you match his bowlers when you tournaments?
Yes.
Who knows? But it sounds so right.
Yeah,
it sounds so right. Of course they do.
Tum hai Gorak Danda ho bhai.
Today, Babar Azam won you the match. But over the tournament, Mohammad Amir will win you the tournament. This is what it means. So, a rallying cry. Yeah. Then he did it against England.
Yes.
That, you know, they need 300 balls to score 500.
We just need 10 balls.
We just need 10. But they didn't. They needed 9 wicket-taking balls. Because they actually had them 9 down.
So, he's seen there is a few New Zealand journalists, and he knows that this press conference is going to go out.
Yeah.
But this is an Urdu question. He's talking about... So the question is about...
New Zealand being the undefeated team in this tournament, and they're doing solid, and they have a great pace attack, and they have all bases covered, but they, you know, the questioner thinks they do. And so he puts this question to...
I'm not sure if he started in Urdu or not, but...
He did.
Most of his Urdu questions he answered in Urdu.
Yeah, yeah.
But here he breaks into English.
Yeah.
And he goes, New Zealand, if you look at the record, they have got a great record in World Cups. But when it comes to semifinals or finals, they always lose. Which is a nice way of saying, I'm not using the word because we have got South African listeners, I'm not using the
word. But we know which word it is.
Yes. But it doesn't make sense to me because this match is not a high pressure match for New Zealand. It's only important for you. It's not important for them.
But it's a rallying cry. I think the role that he's taken on now is to issue these rallying cries.
But that he can do it. All. But I don't know what the difference
do
is.
Do or die.
You can do joke. It in your... You can do it in your... By the way, for Indians and Pakistanis, it's not do or die, it's do and die.
Sorry, do and die. Today you have to do and die the Mickey.
Yes. So, but why can't he do it in the dressing room? Why does he have to come to do it in the media?
Because he has to, like, show this message to the world, yeah. Because he has to show that this is how our inner confidence is. That New Zealand, every team has to have one bad day. Every team.
Okay, which
even
was...
though this is the least important bad day.
Which was a very nice way of couching what he had already said.
Yeah.
Now he took recourse in law of averages after calling them chokers.
Basically.
Yeah.
And imagine if he had been English and he had been talking about, like, say, for example, Australia or even South Africa. The tabloids would have had a field day with this. Absolute field day. But because he's Azhar Mahmood of Pakistan and he's talking about
but
New Zealand.
I thought people didn't do that because more than some of the people actually believed he might be speaking the truth.
And also that it is a way of thinking because bad day, everyone has a bad day. Everyone has a good day. Pakistan just need to have how many? 11 good days in this tournament, right?
Now only.
Now, shuru mein toh they needed 11 good days.
Okay, even now, I mean, it's not just their good days.
Now they need
some
good days.
No, but they need a good day elsewhere.
But, I mean, you know, we will get to this, but I mean, they will have good days elsewhere.
But which reminds me, right now they must be feeling very good.
Yeah.
Because, okay, you say they don't start as favorites against anybody, but against Afghanistan, I would say 70% favorites to take 2 points.
Yeah. Okay. Which, 70 is too high for me. That's okay. Because you're not Pakistani, but
60.
60.
Anyway, they're favorites. Even if it's 51-49.
Yeah, they're favorites.
Let's say they win.
Yeah.
That means England are coming to Edgbaston, which has shown twice it might be the slowest wicket in this tournament.
Yeah.
They might get a fresh wicket, but I don't know how much the square changes in nature.
Yeah. Yeah. And how many days out are we?
Day after tomorrow as we speak.
No, it's not on Saturday. It's on Sunday.
Sunday, okay.
Sunday is the England
In 3 days.
Yeah, 3 days time.
And we're told there's going to be sun for the next 2 days. So the groundsman has a chance to get some pace into the wicket.
Yeah.
But to keep their fate in their own hand, they have to come here on this square.
Yeah.
And you saw the crowd today. And I'm sure it will be quite similar to this for India.
Yeah.
In front of that crowd, they have to beat India.
Although, isn't Edgbaston, like, they've had hostile English crowds as well, right? That's the reputation for Edgbaston.
But not against India and Pakistan, because you know when the tickets go out for sale.
Yeah, that's true. Indians are there and Pakistanis are there.
You know, we are techies.
Yeah,
we are techies.
They're sitting there waiting.
We have hacked all the sites.
Sitting there waiting.
Yes.
Ticket. five different credit cards. Come on, let's go.
Yes. And five different phones for OTP.
Everyone, come on, everyone, we're done. Yeah, so that game.
And they will start that match, in all likelihood, 1 point behind Pakistan.
In fifth place.
Yes.
Also start that match, knowing what has happened to them in the last two games, and all the talk that has been about how they cannot adapt
to
different pitches.
So, I mean, there's...
Plus all their injury concerns, by the way, we're forgetting completely. Yes. In fact, they might end up doing a Pakistan in this tournament.
And backdoor entry into the semi-final and then two good days.
That's all they need.
That's what this World Cup deserves.
England a Pakistan light.
Fernando, please. Plug your ears.
No, I mean, you know, you would think that India would have the beating of England if the surface is anything like the one that
India start as favorite.
Yeah.
India start then as India favorite. Start as anything favorite. Can happen, but India start as favorite. So, Pakistan are feeling really good now, especially if New Zealand lose to Australia at Lord's on...
That's on Saturday, the same day Pakistan. So, that's the later game on the day that Pakistan...
So, Pakistan, if all goes right...
And they win.
Go beat Afghanistan, come back to their rooms...
They're on 9 points.
Then. If they have Sky...
which they don't. Some of their players have complained that they can't watch any cricket here.
Oh no, so then
the only cricket they watch is the cricket they play.
They might join us.
Very sad state of affairs.
They might join us at the Headingley press box, which
I've got Sky, so we can do that.
You won't be there.
I won't be there at the Headingley press box.
They will. They could be watching Australia beat New Zealand, and then they've got
that
two
Zealand
shots
on 10 points still.
11.
11, sorry, but wash out.
So if that happens, Pakistan have two shots. That is seen on. When did you start believing that seen on?
Seen is on? I'll tell you. I know exactly when I started believing. When Wahab Riaz dropped Quinton de Kock in the first over. Because I wrote this in just the small fielding piece that we did, that even though he dropped him, Pakistan was just looking like, and you know, again, this is, you know, all the data nerds are going to hate this, but they just looked, if you watched them in the field that day, despite that drop catch, and despite the five others that they would drop that day, plus one attempt that Amir could have made and he didn't, so that's like seven drop catches, they just looked like they knew they were going to defend that target. They knew it. They knew, Amir knew what he was doing, Shaheen knew what he was doing, Shadab. They just, and you know, you're giving a guy like Quinton de Kock a chance. You're giving, you know, David Miller's not had the greatest recent run, I guess, in ODIs, but you know, you're giving him three chances. He's good enough to take advantage of three chances at some stage.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you can make your luck after that if you're getting three chances.
Let me just put it, I'd rather Miller than Kohli.
Yes, although we know what happened to Kohli in the Champions Trophy final with the drop. Oh, and the ball, right? 1 minute.
Blow alert.
No, but that was the minute that I thought that now there's going to be a scene. You felt it, I think, today.
As usual, it happens with a catch. If you remember 2017 Champions Trophy, I was not there in England, but I was
but
doing,
you were watching it.
That was the first day when we experimented with the live report. And that's when, but it was not on that day, it was in the game against England.
Yes.
Where, and Pakistan were usually...
But you wrote about it on the day of the live report when we did that.
Pakistan were actually having one of the Pakistan tournaments where they were not fielding great.
Yeah, yeah.
But then in this game, and it was not a very difficult chance, it was not a straightforward chance.
You know what? It was a chance that Yunus Khan dropped in the Champions Trophy semi-final. Grant Elliott, he dropped. Same spot. And they lost that semi-final.
Yeah.
Similar chance. Very
Grant
similar
Elliott,
chance.
By the way, is...
He's a different level.
Yes.
He's another Malang.
He's played some great innings.
He's played in great contests.
In between, he doesn't do anything, but he
but
just...
But he's there for the great contest.
Yes.
So yeah, that catch.
Yeah, so Babar Azam, it is a dipping catch on him. And Babar Azam...
At cover.
Yes.
It was, yeah.
He takes that catch.
Who's Alex Hales?
Hales.
Off...
I'm not sure the bowler, but it told me two things.
Hafiz, maybe.
Because A, it's a catch to short cover. It means the pitch is slow.
Slow, yeah. I think it might have been off Hafiz as well.
And B, the fielding is on.
Yeah, because that's
so
a catch you can
total talk. Scene on, boss.
When the fielding is on, then... And so today you felt it with...
With Sarfaraz's catch. In 2009, I felt with Afridi's... obviously, that was a one-in-a-generation catch.
Yeah, it was. It was. In, I'm trying to think where the other... Yeah.
By the way, we're talking about only four surges that are there.
That's it?
We don't have a huge amount of data to draw off.
No, wait. I mean, you can look at other instances like...
Like test matches. And,
yeah, Abu Dhabi test and all, there are catches there. But no, this...
No.
And today's Sarfaraz moment was a legitimate one.
Oh, yes. I mean,
that was a good catch for a start. That was a good catch.
Okay, I will admit it. Apologies to Sarfraz that when the edge was traveling, I thought it would come off. It would not stick.
I thought it would not stick when he landed.
Yes.
I thought it would fall out of his
hand. I thought it would be dropped.
Of his glove when he landed.
So when he held on to it, I thought, now...
something's on.
Yes.
Something. Even though the second half of that innings was completely against plan for Pakistan.
But if you look at it rationally, it showed that seam movement was out. Now it had eased out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now Pakistan only had to deal with turn.
And Lockie.
Yeah, but...
they had to.
Yes. But the New Zealand had... by the way, best readers of the pitches in tournament cricket...
got this pitch.
Got it wrong today, of all days.
Yeah. Won the toss and chose to bat when Sarfraz had said that.
Yes, he would
have...
He also would have batted.
He also would have batted.
Yes. So, we can only quote Azhar Mahmood here. Everybody has a bad day.
Everybody has to have a bad day.
Has to have.
Everybody has to have a bad day.
It is a compulsion. You cannot get away with it.
You cannot be an undefeated team in a tournament, even though there have been many undefeated teams in tournaments.
Yes.
There have been undefeated football teams in an entire football season.
Yeah.
But Azhar Mahmood does not care. He does not give a flying. I was like, everybody has to have a bad day. And New Zealand had their bad day today.
Yes.
Can Pakistan have... Four more good days plus other teams having good days.
That's a big question. And that's
come
a question.
On, put your money on the line now.
That's
Sid
a
Monga.
Question.
Put your money on the line now, Sid Monga, and tell me. What do you feel? Deep down inside.
I have seen signs.
Having watched Pakistan, that's a great line. I have seen signs. Deep down.
But I'm also, because it has not happened. There's some...
I think with you, by the way, and I'm going to... this is not a digression. This is very much part of this question. But I think with you, your extremely rational cricket mind...
That's what I was coming to.
It doesn't get blown to bits by Pakistan. I think it enjoys it.
Because it
enjoys the fact that it's being challenged.
It is the exception that... I mean, rational, science, whatever you're thinking is only... when we say it happens 90% of the time. So we need this 10% and... we need to be proven wrong. I love when Dhoni proves everybody wrong. Dhoni does things that don't look rational.
Yeah.
He proves us wrong. Love it when Pakistan proves us wrong. Love it when West Indies do it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
In hindsight...
don't take runs. Don't take singles.
Yes. In hindsight, when you sit back and look at their methods, you will find rational.
You will, but you will also find like... many
but when,
you're, not do it.
When they're doing it,
It's
frustrating when they're doing it.
Yes.
My instinct says I've seen signs. But my rationale says, rational mind starts kicking in and it says, Pakistan can only finish fourth. Which in all likelihood means they're facing India.
Yes.
I don't see them beating India because...
Knockout game.
When Pakistan beat India in 2017, India's bowling attack was only half of what it is.
Absolutely.
And Andrew Fernando and I discussed this earlier that... okay, Bumrah is, I think, the best bowler in the tournament. But as a team of fast bowlers, Bumrah and Bhubaneswar have equals. I'm not going to say they're better combinations, they have equals.
Yeah, okay.
But Chahal and Kuldeep Yadav, there are no equals. That middle over is... okay, people are finding ways. New Zealand are going to Lockie Ferguson in the middle overs.
Yeah.
Australia are going to Mitchell Starc, which means they are leaving Marcus Stoinis to do the death overs.
So
they are taking risks.
Well, it's not a risk for them because Starc is...
but Stoinis in the death?
Stoinis in the death is a risk, yes.
Yes.
Yes, Stoinis in the death.
So, they are having to compromise something. India are not.
Yeah, they're not.
These boys, they have... for the last 2 years, they have ruled the middle overs.
Yeah, through the middle overs.
And they have also shown that... and I'm a believer that spinners always need conditions, but they have shown, at least in limited overs context, they don't need conditions that much. It's... their kind of bowling, you don't get to face that much, as you wrote about Kuldeep. And I would add Chahal to it because most of the leg spinners today are bowling flat and fast.
He's not that kind of leg spinner.
Yes.
Yeah. He's not at all that kind of
leg spinner. India have that advantage, which I struggle to see how Pakistan can get the better
off. Sounding very rational there, Mr. Monga. Sounding very rational there, my friend. Yeah, I mean, like you said, 90%, but 10% of the time, something like that.
I wouldn't mind being proven wrong.
And Pakistanis would cling to that. They would absolutely cling to that 10% and somehow...
having said that...
believe that they can will it to happen.
Having said that, who thought in 2017...
at that time...
what happened would happen.
Well, at that time, I don't think Ashwin and Jadeja in hindsight now,
yes,
Ashwin and Jadeja looked real ordinary. But they weren't.
No.
They were decent spinners even then, right?
But they had had this game against Sri Lanka.
They had had that game against Sri Lanka, which went badly. But they were still like, chalo, yeah, solid.
Yeah.
Solid hai. And
I mean,
it's only in hindsight now with Kuldeep and Chahal.
We did write in our previews that every team has a wrist spinner except India.
Yeah, yeah.
But we didn't think it would come down to that.
You know what the final thing on this is? The final thing, which is that great fact, it's not even a stat, is that the only two teams who have every kind of bowler in their squad are who? Every kind, every genre.
You're talking about left arm quick, right arm quick, off spinner, leg spinner.
Slow left arm.
But you're not playing Hasan Ali.
Can you please tell me?
You're not playing Hasan Ali though.
In their squad.
In the squad.
Who has? The two teams.
Australia and Pakistan.
No.
Australia have got everyone.
Where is their slow left arm? SLA, baby.
But where is your left arm wrist spinner?
That doesn't count. I'm sorry. They're too niche a genre of bowling.
Which is why it's the best.
No. Forget that right now. Where's India's left arm fast bowler?
I mean, India have everything.
So one team you know is Pakistan. Who's the other team? How do you not know this?
New Zealand.
No.
New Zealand have got everything. Oh, they don't have an off spinner. Williamson, boss. Shane Williamson.
Shane Williamson. Please. No. The other team is the team that blew this tournament goddamn wide open.
Sri Lanka, Mata.
Andrew Fernando, this one's for you, baby. Sri Lanka and Pakistan are the only teams whose squad have every kind of bowler that you would want, apart from obviously left arm wrist spinners. But it's just not even a thing, yaar.
Are you still counting Hasan Ali?
I and Mohammad Hasan. Hello, the wild card in all this.
Like Fakhar Zaman.
When are we going to throw in the young, strapping, right arm, really fast bowler?
Well, we are back to those desperate times.
Boss, Afghanistan are going to be blown away by pace. That was the strategy beforehand, by the way. And this is legitimate. Strategy for taking Mohammad Hasan here was to unleash him on Bangladesh and Afghanistan.
Matlab, there is such depth of planning, but there is no planning.
Exactly. It's Pakistan, boss, in a sentence. So, Mohammad Hasan is going to be unleashed and he is the one who is going to break India.
Well,
pace is pace, yaar. What is his pace?
He's
145.
Hmm.
He's hit 150 in England. He hit 151, 152 in England.
Yeah, that's where it starts, as Hasi said.
And that's he's got a good bouncer.
And that's Michael Hasi saying, it starts to make a difference for me at 150, but Michael Hasi is in that, like, top.
Top echelon of batsmen, yes. Absolutely.
So, if somebody has
to be a hero.
Yeah.
Young Mohammad Hasan, remember the name.
Please don't put that on anybody. I know Carlos Brathwaite is still struggling to carry that.
That weight. But he got 100 in England.
But the dream is diminished. Ian Bishop, you legend.
What a line. The dream is
diminished. What a competitor.
Not the dream is dead.
No, how is...
It's not dead.
You will always rally.
Diminished.
West Indies will always rally.
Beautiful line.
Yeah.
The dream is diminished. I would have said the dream is dead. It's over. It's gone. But that's not Ian Bishop.
Factually is over for West Indies right now.
Oh.
They cannot make it to the semifinals.
We're 100% sure on this?
Yeah, because they have, I think, 3 points. Even if they win every game, they'll end up with 9 points, which I'm afraid is not enough.
They can't end up with 9 points. That means they have like some 4 games left.
Three.
Or it's 2 points a game. Oh, yeah, so 6 points.
So if they have 3 games left, they can make it to 9 points.
Oh, yeah. And 9 points will not get you into the
No.
Too bad, West Indies, you're gone.
Yeah, even Pakistan can't get through with 9, which brings me to the Bangladesh
game. Oh, Dakar.
Bangladesh game.
See, I have a feeling, by the way, that is the spanner in all this, everything we have discussed.
In the it,
the spanner is that game. Because, and Pakistan are going to be like, yeah, we own Bangladesh, we're going to beat them. Pakistan have lost their last 4 games against
Bangladesh.
Lost their last 4 games. They lost their last 4 ODIs against Bangladesh.
I don't think Pakistan are that naive.
They're not. They're not going to go into it like that. They're obviously not. But I think they still do carry a degree of superiority and they feel like we should be able to beat Bangladesh 9 times out of 10. Except they've lost the last four games against Bangladesh.
Bangladesh, by the way, are just missing one ingredient and they would be like serious
one
team.
Pace is pace, yeah, yes. Fast bowler.
Yes, one strike fast bowler.
Poor Mashrafi.
What
could have been?
But look, to his credit, with all the injuries he's carrying, with the lack of pace he's carrying.
The fact that he's still bowling 75 miles an hour is pretty amazing.
No, the fact that he's not he's not as big a liability as you would think he is.
That's true.
He's actually not a liability. He's very small. He's not, and which he cancels out with his leadership.
Yeah.
If you see, they've gone to other people. And they've come back to Mashrafi for
a
reason.
Come back to him for a reason. Yeah, absolutely. He like genuinely commands that dressing room.
Yes.
There's zero doubt about that. So, and that dressing room is not an easy place to be in because it's got some big, big names in
it. We've heard rumors he might command that country. But that
if it's coming from Mohammed Issam, it's not a rumor, my friend. It's not a rumor. It's cold stone fact. He will be running that country soon.
True. So, but Bangladesh batting, I feel it has got at least three batsmen who are at the prime, who are very experienced, who are some of the most experienced players in this World Cup.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who are at the prime of their games, who are at the prime of their conditioning.
Are they the only side who have players from the 2007 World Cup in this tournament?
Malik?
In that tournament.
How do you forget Malik?
Of course, he played in that tournament.
Yes.
Hafiz also played, maybe.
And
I feel like Hafiz would have been in that tournament.
No. Universe boss?
Azhar Mahmood was in that tournament.
He's still in.
He's still here.
Don't forget Universe boss.
Universe boss.
Who's made a comeback.
Who Universe boss is back? He never quit. He never retired.
Try telling that to Jason Holder. Try telling that to his captain, Jason Holder.
It's all fake news. It's all fake news.
It is on for Chris Gayle.
There should have been a rhyme there.
See,
it is on for Chris Gayle. It really had to rhyme.
I'm drawing a parallel with Pakistan. The scene is on, boss.
Oh, okay,
Gayle is feeling it.
Gayle is feeling it as well.
He wants to come back for a test match.
Bangladesh, coming back to.
Yes.
That's actually going to be like a... That's the only reason that I'm not like 100%
so
there.
That match,
even more than the other games that have to go Pakistan's way, I would say that they are less of a concern than actually...
And that match comes after India and England have played.
Yeah, so Pakistan will know...
So if England have won that game by... I mean, I give them a 20% chance of winning that game.
Yeah.
If they do
okay, that... Wait, I'll let that by really quickly. You give them a 20% chance of winning that game?
To beat India. England to beat India.
You've gone really high there, I feel.
Okay. I mean...
Just kidding. Just kidding, all of England. Just kidding. England, 20% chance.
If England win,
then
there's that extra pressure on Pakistan going into the match against Bangladesh because it becomes a must-win game.
And then they know what they have to do to get through. Won't they have the same... Will they have the same number of wins? No.
Wins with England? No, with New Zealand, if New Zealand keep losing and Pakistan keep winning...
Oh, with England, they can go ahead on points.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can't tie with England. You
can't tie with England.
Unless...
Net run rate doesn't come into it, unless
it's New Zealand. Chesterley Street, England go there with a must-win scenario and it just rains.
And New Zealand,
it's north of England.
It's not unknown to rain in the north of England. Yes. It's not,
and anyway, it's been a very unseasonably wet summer. To quote the CEO of ICC, Dave Richardson...
The unseasonably wettest summer in the history of unseasonably wet summers that England has. Almost every other summer, by the way. But weren't there a lot of rained out matches in the Champions Trophy, by the way? There were. Australia played one game in that entire tournament.
And they lost.
And they lost it. And then the other two games were rained out.
Yeah, and they were out of the Champions Trophy. Poor guys.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, it's not like rain doesn't come to England. Like during cricket tournaments, it's not like rain doesn't come to England.
But that's a separate topic which could have a podcast of its own. But I believe that when I'll just finish it in one line, when a World Cup comes to you once every 20 years, you prioritize it over Ashes, which comes every 4 years, and you give Ashes the May June slot and give the World Cup July August slot. People I've spoken to in England would rather they win the Ashes than the World Cup.
Yeah, I know Pakistan would rather win the World Cup than the Ashes.
India too.
India too, I'm sure.
And I speak, as an honorary South African, I speak on behalf of South Africa that they would rather win the World Cup than the Ashes.
Yeah. I think on that note.
Yes.
And on that note.
Scene is on, baby.
Scene is on.
Is it seen on for Pakistan? We'll get to know in the next few days. That's about the end of this episode. Listen, subscribe and do all the good things you do on iTunes and other podcasting platforms. We leave the last word with Wajid Khan, which very well could turn out to be lines we recall and replay when all of this comes to an end.
World Cup Pakistan jeetgi to ye jo hum sara kaam kar rahe hain sab bekar. Na catch matters, na yo-yo test, na fitness, na running between the wickets. Nothing matters.
What matters?
I don't know. यही तो मसला है.
यही तो मसला है. Champions Trophy में भी हमने यही पूछा कि
Champions Trophy में हम अपने आप को तसल्लियां देते थे कि चलो यार conditions ऐसे हो गई और बहुत ही favourable हो गया ये वो. लेकिन अगर ये दूसरी दफा हो गया तो वो भी आप use नहीं कर सकते.